Are you traveling to foreign countries for work? Do you have clients or colleagues abroad that you'd like to communicate more easily with? Then you should learn to speak a new language and make your business better. Living Language Business courses provide you with the most useful phrases, vocabulary, and cultural tips for business. Try a Living Language Business course for free by using code WSJ2016 at checkout. Visit livinglanguage.com/business to get started.
Economists believe a recession is likely within the next 4 years.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. The U.S. must face one of two scenarios. Either the next president will face a recession while in office or see the longest economic expansion in U.S. history. Joining us now from the Washington newsroom is the Wall Street Journal's Josh Zumbrunn. Josh, we hear over and over that in the grand scheme of things, the president wields pretty limited power over the economy. But in terms of this talk of a recession or not, how much relies on the upcoming presidency of Donald Trump?
So there's two things I want to talk about in response to that. So the first one is that the economy has already been expanding, not very strongly, not very quickly, for 7 years now. I mean, that's when the economy stopped cratering in the recession and started to slowly head back upwards. And that's already a pretty long time by historical standards. The average U.S. expansion was only about 5 years, and so we're already past that mark. And by the time we get to the end of the next presidency, it'll be 11 years. And if that happened, like you just said, that would be the longest economic expansion that we've ever had in the United States. And so it seems maybe doubtful that that'll come to pass. The other thing is that economists don't completely understand what causes recessions. They seem to be really hard to predict for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that if you realize that there's a lot of weaknesses in the economy, there's a lot of things that the government or the Federal Reserve can do to offset those weaknesses. So almost by definition, recessions have to be something that comes out of nowhere and surprises people for some reason. So there's reason to think that one of those things that can be a surprise is election outcomes. And one of the reasons to think that is because a lot of the recessions that we've had in the U.S. have come very close to national presidential elections. So it could be that the surprise that comes from having an election outcome is one of the things that can ultimately be a kind of a catalyst or a trigger for a recession. But, you know, the bottom line is that we don't really know. The economy's been growing a long time, and it's just not clear whether or not it can keep doing it for another 4 years.
So economists in the Wall Street Journal's latest survey put the odds of a downturn in the next 4 years at nearly 60%. So other than history not being on our side, are there any specific risks we face right now?
One thing I want to say real quick is that we conducted that survey actually before the election outcome was known. So this is kind of just what you would generally expect, regardless of what you know about the president. So one risk is certainly the policies that would come out of the next White House. I mean, we don't, you know, Donald Trump was a very interesting presidential candidate in the sense that he would often kind of propose multiple versions of policies. He would talk about cutting the debt, but he would also talk about, you know, borrowing money to do lots of things. And he would talk about, you know, he's kind of said different things on exactly what he wants to do with immigration. And it's not clear how far he wants to go with trade. Does he want to, you know, reverse some of these trade deals or renegotiate them? How significant will those negotiations be? So there's a lot of questions over how which things he said on the campaign trail will actually be the priorities. And so, you know, there's certainly a potential from economic policy to be one of those things. I mean, you can imagine a scenario where you do a large cutback on immigration and there's a large number of companies that can't find workers. You know, so you can imagine some dire scenarios that come out of policy. Another area where there's kind of a lot of things to think about and worry about is internationally. I mean, the Chinese economy seems to be slowing down, and there seem to be some problems in some other emerging markets. You know, that could potentially crimp the U.S., especially if it kind of got into the financial system. And then a third is that businesses haven't been very heavily investing in their futures. They haven't been doing a lot of investing in equipment or in new structures. And so you kind of wonder, you know, how much are businesses investing for growth in the future? And if they're not, could a lack of business investment be a reason that the economy could stumble in the future? And, you know, all those scenarios are possible, and it could be some combination of those things.
Do we know anything more about why the American economy has never grown for more than a decade without a recession?
Well, I mean, it seems to be the case that at some point the economy just kind of runs out of steam, or that it gets a little bit, maybe after too long, it gets a little bit overheated, and there kind of has to be a retrenchment in some sectors of the economy. But, you know, I'd emphasize that it's really kind of a mystery. There's no fundamental reason that you couldn't have a 12-year economic expansion. And in fact, some foreign countries have had longer ones. The United Kingdom, I believe, has gone 20 years at some point, and I think Australia might be in the middle of a 20-year expansion now. So it's not like it's a law of – it doesn't seem to be a law of nature. It just seems that over time, the chance that something will happen to knock the economy off course, you go a long enough period of time and you're going to get hit. Just the way that, you go a long enough time and a hurricane is going to hit a beach line. It seems to be a kind of a similar phenomenon to that.
An important point you make in your latest story is the length of an expansion bears little relation to its strength. The economy has grown at the slowest pace of any expansion since World War II, but that's not why economists think we may be headed for a recession.
Right. I mean, there's even reason to think that that a slower growing economy can expand for a longer period of time. And the reason you might think that is because when an economy is growing really fast, you might have a lot of sectors of the economy that get really overheated. You know, you might have companies that are having trouble finding workers, or they're having to pay so much money for types of work that's, you know, clearly not a problem in an economy that's had low wage growth. You could have things like houses and commercial real estate getting incredibly expensive, and you see expensive prices in cities, but you don't see it across the entirety of the country. But, you know, if you had 4 or 5% growth for 7 years, I mean, it's, you know, imagine what house prices could be doing in that kind of scenario. So there is a reason to think that if you have really rapid economic growth, that you might kind of get into a situation of a real overheated economy much quicker. So, you know, one possibility is that maybe the only silver lining of having this really slow growth the last 7 years, you know, maybe the only silver lining of that is that you can have a really long economic expansion because of it.
Do we know yet who will be advising Donald Trump on the economy?
Not really. I mean, that's still starting to shake out here in Washington. And one, you know, question that emerged during his campaign was, you know, how much was he listening to the advisors that he did have? You know, some of his advisors wanted to, you know, really curtail international trade, and some of his advisors are people who have been long supporters of international trade. And so it's one of those things where it's just not totally clear where he's going to come down once he's actually the president. During the campaign, he's sometimes said things that are favorable to both sides on a lot of different issues, and so it's very hard to assess what the policies will be, who he'll actually listen to when it comes time to actually, you know, make the decisions, as opposed to on a campaign. You know, on a campaign, you can get away with saying you want to do both things, and politicians of all sorts have always done that. But once you're actually in office, you have to make the decisions, and there's not a lot of roadmap to know which way those decisions will go.
Well, the one thing we do know is that the cast of characters one might expect to see advising a Republican presidential nominee, now president-elect, are so far notably absent.
Yeah, so one group that, you know, the people who used to be on the Council of Economic Advisors, at one point we got in touch with every former member, you know, people who had worked under President Bush, under President Reagan, even some going back to President Nixon. None of them were supporters of the Trump campaign. this is largely because these Republican economists had been big free trade advocates for a long time. And so when Trump came in, and they'd also been in favor of immigration for a long time. And so when Trump came in with a very different message on those two issues, he lost a lot of the people who had helped form Republican economic policy in the past. You know, if you look at the Council of Economic Advisers, he had lost every single one of them. And so it's really unclear what the kind of new generation of President Trump's advisors are going to what they're going to actually prioritize.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Josh Zumbrunn joining us from the Washington Newsroom. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in the Newsroom in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.